broadcast from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio, right? And that I am Jim Rome, and that the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio is in Southern California. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So I teased at the end of hour number one that at the start of hour number two, there'd be a big announcement, something I was pumped up about. And you're starting to guess, like you couldn't wait 5 minutes. All right, I'll play along. Fuzzy716 tweets, is the major announcement that you're bringing back the family? No. No, spoiler alert, the family's not coming back. Not this hour, not next hour, not next year, not in any year. Again, it was just one of those things I did when I was younger. It was a very different time. The business was very different. The show was very different. I was much younger. I mean, didn't you do and say things that you would never do now that you did 25 years ago? I mean, literally, it's like that old. No, the family's not coming back. If that's why you're listening to me, if you tune in every single day thinking, yeah, I'm really not about this guy. I'm not about his show. I'm not about his interviews. I'm definitely not about his takes. What I am about, however, is that small glimmer of hope that he's given me that he'll bring back the family. That family where there's a bunch of people who look like rats. That's not coming back. That's not what the announcement is. You will never have that announcement. Normally, I would say never say never. You will never, ever get that announcement from me. So stop asking. Stop asking. Even the Larry Brown call, I've said that I'll play again. If Larry Brown calls and asks for it. Now, that's a small, slight glimmer of hope. There is no hope that the family's coming back. It won't. Radom 27 tweets, the big announcement will be that Jim will allow personal appearance to be show fodder. That's not right either. But anyway, if you want to guess, go ahead. I'll hold on to this thing a little bit longer. I've got an announcement coming up, something new, something fresh, something I'm pumped about. Good news for you and good news for the program. Those two things would not be good news for the program. Certainly not for me. Finally, we've got Fight Week. Dana White's coming up in hour number three. Jason Lock and Four is coming up in about 15 minutes. Did you happen to see those MLB umpires who broke out with white wristbands over the weekend? It prompted the question, why are some MLB umpires wearing white wristbands over the weekend? Is it a reaction to Charlottesville? Or maybe the crisis in Venezuela? The opioid epidemic that is devastating communities around the country? Maybe an appeal for peace on the Korean Peninsula? Nope. The umpires were wearing white wristbands to protest umpires getting yelled at. Seriously. Adults, many of whom have been doing their jobs for decades, deciding to throw on wristbands as part of the World Umpires Association's effort to, quote, protest escalating verbal attacks on umpires, end of quote. Right, because the biggest problem facing America, no, the biggest problem facing the world right now is the fact that players and managers are arguing with umpires, yelling at umpires. Where to start? How about right here? Is there a more ridiculously named organization than the World Umpires Association? The Alliance of Magicians thinks that that's a goofy name. But the World Umpires Association demand to be taken seriously, and they're not done with that statement. Quote, this week, a player publicly and harshly impugned the character and integrity of Angel Hernandez, a veteran umpire who has dedicated his career to baseball and the community. The verbal attack on Angel denigrated the entire MLB umpiring staff and is unacceptable. End quote. Well, that player, of course, was Detroit Tiger Ian Kinsler. And yes, he brought some fire when he was surprised that he was ejected by Hernandez. Quote, I'm surprised at how bad of an umpire he is. I don't know how, for as many years that he's been in the league, that he could be that bad. He needs to reevaluate his career choice. He really does. Bottom line, end quote. So, the WA thought that Kinsler was mean to Hernandez, so they all went to a local sporting goods store and they all bought white wristbands to protest. Wah! Wah! I mean, seriously, look around you. Look around you. Look at what's going on in the world around you. Of all the things in the world to be protesting right now, these guys pick this. I mean, seriously. How utterly clueless can you be? You realize how utterly clueless you seem. It might be the worst cause ever. The stop yelling at us umpires cause. Look, I'm never going to call somebody out for being soft. But that's not exactly the toughest, most badass thing I've ever seen. And there are plenty of umps who carry themselves like tough guys and badasses. Like Jerry Davis, who booted Adrian Beltre for not taking his warm-up swings in the on-deck circle. Look, I'm not saying that being an umpire is an easy gig. It's not. Players are going to yell at you. Managers are going to yell at you. Fans are going to yell at you. But if you don't want to get yelled at, the answer is not to put on a white wristband. It's to find another job. Umpires wearing wristbands to protest being yelled at is like umpires wearing wristbands to protest going to baseball games. It's part of the job. Just like making nice money and traveling first class and staying in nice hotels is part of the job. And by the way, there are some really good umpires in baseball. And there are some really terrible umpires in baseball. And there may be some evidence that players and managers are jawing with umpires more than they have in the past. If that's a problem, a real problem, then there are ways of working at that. But wearing a wristband is not one of them. And let's be real. The next time an ump walks away from a confrontation with a player or a manager, it's going to be the first. Plenty of umps seem to really enjoy those moments because for once, the action is about them. That's their big moment. Well, that, and when they can do some huge windup to punch out a guy on a called third strike. What I'm saying is this. It's not about you, Blue. And throwing on white armbands to, quote, protest escalating verbal attacks on umpires is the biggest way ever to make it about you. And of course, that protest lasted like an hour. Less than a day later, the umps stopped wearing their wristbands. Good. It was a dumb idea from the start, and the only good part of the protest was the end of it. What a bad idea that was. What a waste of time that was. The stop yelling at us protest. Look around you, Blue. Look at the world around you. Look at what's going on. Time and place. I'm not sure there was ever a time and place for a protest like that. I just know that was the worst time and place for a protest like that. Anybody else want to take a shot at the announcement? Big jungle announcement coming. The longer I stretch it out, the bigger it gets. And then nothing ever lives up to the hype. But this is a good one. I'm fired up about this one. Any other guesses? No, it's not the family. No, I'm not going to bring back personal appearance as show fodder. Old G tweets, big announcement. Jake and Logan to have a little brother or sister?
Brother.
My dead body. Come on, man. Two's good. Two's enough. I got two great kids. Love both these kids. It's not going to be three. Matt in Poland Springs tweets, finally, Bum Smack is approved for jungle content again. I mean, I'd put Bum Smack right up there with Rat Family Smack and Personal Appearance Smack. No. No. Jeff in SoCal, is the big announcement, quote, I was ruined by Danica this weekend.
Now, I'm out of money for season tickets, and the only thing I can do is go to the games, get drunk, find a little tenderoni, and take him home for the night and ruin him. I'm out.
Jeff, when you say I was ruined, you mean you or you or me? Definitely was not me. I don't know about you. I know this, Jeff. It wasn't me. And I'll tell you what else I know, Jeff. It wasn't you. She's probably heard your takes, Jeff. You're not the tenderoni she's looking for. Hey, Jim. Congrats on your decision to unveil a Bum Smack paywall on your website. Drew in West L.A. Unwore adults who think that pronouncing target as tarjay is funny. And I can get with that, Drew. Your first point, not so much. Yeah, so, Drew, that line of thinking is like, yeah, you know, that's just not responsible. It's really not funny. It's not responsible. It's kind of reprehensible. But wait a minute. Would people be willing to pay for that? Would people be willing to pay for me or anybody else to make fun of homeless people? Good brand, Drew. Hey, Jim, I know what it is. An actual sports take on the day of the smack-off. sincerely, MTV actually playing a video. Mike in Temecula, that's obviously not it either, because I start every single smack off by saying that there really are no rules. Almost no parameters whatsoever. And there's no judging or saying what smack or what content wins and what doesn't. Look at Leff. Leff is not known for his great sports takes. I think Leff is underrated as a guy that can run sports smack, but he's not known for that, and he wins every single year. So no, it's not that. Dear Jim, wore bums watching the eclipse through Heineken bottles. Wore the big announcement being this email making the Daily Jungle. Patasar from Bugaha. Like I just said, Brett, over my dead body. Hey, Brett, you're never going to be in the Daily Jungle. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. You could be the last guy listening to this program. The last guy listening, the last guy calling, the last guy emailing, the last guy tweeting, and you still would never get in the Daily Jungle, Brett. Brett, it's a miracle that you even make this show. So be happy with that. Stop worrying about what you don't have and will never get, and be happy with what you do have before we rip that from you, too. Come on, Brett. 1-800-636-8686. You know what? Stay there. I was going to go to a call that was on topic, but I've got Jason Lock and Fora coming up next. So instead, I will take a break. And then not long after that break, I will tell you what my big announcement is. And then I've got Dana White coming up in the third hour.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Efforting Jason Lockenfora. I expect that to come down any second now. My jungle announcement coming up any moment now. Dana White coming up next hour. Hope you're having an awesome eclipse day. I mentioned that at the top of the show. It has been 99 years since a solar eclipse traveled across the entire country. So as much as you want to spend the entire day clowning people who are geeked to see this astrological phenomenon, it is one of those days. And it's the type of day where some loser, with nothing better to do, estimates the staggering amount of money that is going to be lost because people are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And apparently, this time, it's $700 million in productivity. That, according to a company, Challenger Grain Christmas. $700 million bucks. So you might think it's a big waste of time, or you might be annoyed by your coworker or coworkers who are running around the office with their funny glasses on. Fact of the matter is, there's a ton of dough being lost over this. 700 mil. But for as excited as some people are for this celestial event, and it's absolutely insane that most of America plans on stopping what they're doing to watch something that could literally burn their eyes out. Literally. There is one group of heroes who are doing their damnedest to prove that they couldn't care less. I touched on it on the top when I mentioned Nick Saban, but he's far from the only football coach. Because you ask a football coach about the solar eclipse, and they'll spend a hell of a lot of oxygen explaining to you why they don't care and what they don't know. I mean, where to start? How about Ravens head coach, John Harbaugh? Do not ask him about the eclipse. He's got Ryan Mallett behind the center, trying to harpoon opponents with errant passes. Like Harbaugh has any time whatsoever for any of your eclipse talk.
A couple teams like for Monday with eclipse, they're doing some team things. Tennessee is doing a viewing. Anything with the Ravens to have you eclipse talked about?
When is it? It's Monday? Can you see it from everywhere? Can you see it from here?
I think you can. I think it's going to be like 80%.
80%? It's not 100% here?
No, I don't know. Sorry. Only if it's 100%.
I mean, 80%, that's not perfect. That's not, we're chasing perfection here, all right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got to go to North Carolina for 100%.
St. Louis.
You know. Nah.
Not bad, John. Not bad. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give you about a 2. Pretty much like the Ravens themselves. Then you got Rams head coach Sean McVay. He is the youngest head coach in the NFL. Literally everybody who talks to this guy leaves the conversation saying the same thing. Like, this guy's energy is off the charts. This dude is smart. I mean, really smart. Like, this dude is the smartest guy in the room. Of course, they probably did not ask him about a solar eclipse.
You know, it's funny because I don't really know anything about anything other than football, Alden. But somebody was telling me about that. Actually, Shane was telling me because he's from the area that it's going to take place. Yeah, no, I don't. But I can tell you about a defense. No, I'm just kidding. So I think I might have to take a look and see what's going on with that. But I just recently heard about that last night on the plane, which is embarrassing but true.
Yeah, I got to respect that. I think I just said a point blank. And believe me, this guy's got crazy it. I think he's going to be a great head coach. A great head coach. I think he's going to be a great leader, great tactician. I'm a big fan of Sean McVay. And I'm especially a big fan of a guy who says, you know what? I really don't know anything about anything except football. That's a dude who understands that the Rams are not selling tickets because he got a B+ in astronomy back in high school. But as much as McVay and Harbaugh checked the football guy box, Will Muschamp went next level with it. Because sometimes saying nothing is more impactful. And if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then 6 seconds of Will Muschamp's silence on solar eclipses is worth about a million.
When you sat down to plan out the preseason schedule, how much, if at all, did the eclipse factor into to that week?
We're practicing. I mean, are you kidding?
We practiced tonight. I didn't know if it was on purpose.
No. What day is the eclipse going to happen?
Day you're open practice.
Okay. Do we ought to shut our eyes when it happens or something? I have no idea. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what, I want that guy's room. I want that guy's room. Like, he breaks them all up with stuff like that. Are you supposed to close your eyes with that kind of stuff? Oh, good one. I want that to be my room. I've got a much tougher room, a room of you clones, a room of 8 million clones. Wouldn't it be great to walk in a room and that no matter what you said when you opened up your mouth, everybody thought that was like the funniest thing they ever heard in their lives? That's what that room sounds like. See, now that's a guy that I believe when he says, I'm not very good with that kind of stuff. That's a guy whose stare might be even more dangerous than the sun rays those little 3D movie glasses are supposed to protect you from. But of course, we already covered the OG, the godfather of disdain, Nicky Saban. And after getting things warmed up last week with a mid-season form rant, he was locked and he was loaded and he was ready for that eclipse question even before it was posed.
Coach, is a little off the subject, but on Monday we've got the solar eclipse. Are there any special precautions you have to take with the team considering the eye damage possibilities are that you have thought about?
You know, we'll set it up so if the players want to go out there and get some sunglasses and look at it, I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really that focused on right now. You know, I watch the Weather Channel every day. They're already saying what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? Just watch the Weather Channel. You see what it's going to be like in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's Clayton, Georgia is the number one place in the country to have 100%. You know, there are all kind of people there. My house will probably be the only empty house on the whole lake.
Life and death. Life and death. Don't you ever think about anything other than football. You know, the eclipse might only come once every century, but Alabama, all right, follow this line of thinking. It may come only once every century. However, Alabama has not opened up against Florida State in their 114 years of playing football. And a decade ago, the last time these two teams played, the Seminoles won. So don't you be asking Nick about the eclipse. Especially when you know damn well that he's watching the Weather Channel every single morning while he's slamming that little Debbie, and he already knows the path it's traveling like some amateur stargazer who spends the night with his telescope. As usual, old Nick wins. The grumpy, red-assed control freak knows everything he needs to know about the solar eclipse. But unless it's going to burn into his memory the Seminoles' opening play calls, he sure as hell will not have time for it. The only thing better would be if he went full Hoodman on it. Because how badly does Bill Belichick hate the solar eclipse? He scheduled a press conference for the exact time that it's supposed to be happening. It starts in about 3 minutes. There you go, Eclipse guy. I've covered it. Not in one, but two different takes. Now you're good. Now I'm done, and now you're good. That is two for me. Romy, is the announcement that you're wearing a white wristband in protest of Josh in Detroit being on hold? Because that might be more expected than umpires getting yelled at. Dave R. in Louisville. See, that's funny, Dave, because he is on hold. And not only is he on hold, he's in the one hole on hold, which means that he called first. So my question to you, Dave, is did you know that he was on hold because maybe he said so on Twitter, or did you know that he's on hold because he's on hold every freaking day? Probably the latter. And sure enough, he is there. Hey, I don't protest it. I just leave the guy there, and I forget that he's there. And then he never moves. Let's see. On my call screen, there's Josh in Detroit, and he says it's his redemption call that Cutler won't win in Miami. Damn, Josh. That feels like a call I really need to get to. Josh on Jay Cutler in Miami. A redemption call. You had your shot. Josh, you were not owed anything. Not by me, not by the jungle, and certainly not a call to redeem yourself. I'd say it'd be a cold day in hell, but you know what it'd have to be? It'd have to be a day where I literally had nothing about anything to say. And then you were there. Josh, no offense, bro, but when I finally did go to you, it went horribly. Horribly for you, and horribly for me, and horribly for everybody who programmed their stations that carry this show. I've got a responsibility, Josh, to make the show better. Oh, and the sponsors. Let's not forget about them. They're listening. Ask yourself, is it going to make the show better? And that will tell you whether or not I'm going to come to you, and if so, how long it'll be. Are you going to make this show better? Like Jason Lockenfora, I know he will. That's why I'm going to come to him next. Dana White coming up in hour number three. I've got the announcement that I want to make about the program coming up. I've got my thoughts on Fight Week and the matchup coming up. I've got my thoughts on Anquan Boldin retiring.
Anquan.
Only a couple of weeks after starting with the Bills. What's that mean exactly? All that's still ahead, but first a sports update. Here it is. On this Eclipse Day.
From Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I've got an announcement that I would like to make regarding this show that's coming up in a little while. In the meantime, I'm still efforting my man JLC. I know for a fact that he's at the Eagles-Dolphins joint practice, so he is doing what he does, getting some work done. So we will continue to effort him. That's going to come up shortly. JLC will be by. Right, so a couple of weeks after saying that he was planning to win another championship, Bills wide receiver Anquan Boldin has pulled the plug, saying that he's got a higher calling than football. I've got that for you in a minute. Let's get a phone call in here. Break it up a little bit. See what's going on. We go to Maine. Christian in Maine. Nice to have you, Christian. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Rummy?
What's going on? How are you?
Glad to hear you're off vacation. I'm glad you didn't go on vacation this week, old boy. Hey, I've got a serious question. Hello?
Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, I want to know, do you know the difference from Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
Say it again. Your phone cut out. The difference between Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
Do you know the difference between Danica from Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
No, Christian. I have no idea. Why don't you dial us all in? What is the difference between Danica in Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
Well, one gets paid to ruin tenderonis, Romy, and the other likes cocaine and owns an NFL team. I'll hang up and listen.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Instead of hanging up and listening, why don't you just hang up and just go away? That's your joke. That's the joke. You know, whenever somebody says, hey, I got a serious question, I know it's not going to be a serious question. Especially coming from Christian in Maine. What's the difference between Danica in Jacksonville and Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys? I don't even think I got the entire response. One likes tenderonis and one likes cocaine and owning a football team, or Good job, Christian. And by good job, I mean stop calling this program. You see, I don't need that sort of thing. I don't think that's funny. Nobody else thinks that's funny either, Christian. Stop sitting at home and trying to make up jokes. Dana White's coming up next hour. I should have known better. See, that's what happens when I take a telephone call. I take a telephone call and I get something like that. Hey, Rome. I am so tired of going to my local watering hole and seeing the female bartenders wearing low-cut shirts and exposing some cleavage while getting me drinks. They're obviously doing that just to get tips. Signed, the World Umpires Association. Matt in Poland Springs, Maine. Hey, listen, the point is, what's changed here? So the umpires are banding together and they want to make a point. So what? Because players and managers are yelling at them? What's changed? They've always yelled at them. They always will yell at them. I guess what they're alleging is it's getting much worse. Yeah, well, the players are alleging that the umpiring is getting much worse. That's not really a cause to rally around, is it? We are joined right now by an NFL insider for CBS Sports. On top of that, he is America's foremost expert on the Major Indoor Soccer League, Jason Lockenfora. Having a very busy day, but finds time to join us. JLC, welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing well. I don't know if that second statement is correct. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not, but I am serious about getting together an MISL podcast. I've been texting some of my boys now that I'm off the road, and we will make that happen. You got to help me track down the Lord of All Indoors, though. He's like right, supposedly, in your neck of the woods there, somewhere near San Diego.
JLC, jungle. If you can't find him,
he's been recluse for a decade, I'm told. No interviews. I got to get him.
If you can't find him, JLC, you know I can't find him, and I stand by
you
what I said. You are America's foremost expert on major indoor soccer. All right, so let me ask you. I know that you're at the Eagles-Dolphins joint practice today. Let me start with Miami. What have you seen from them so far at the quarterback position, and how has your day gone?
You know, look, I think Jay Cutler, mentally, you know that. He knows the system. He knows what Adam Gase espouses. He knows how to deliver the ball. I just wonder physically, and I talked to some guys about this, about ramping him back up. Now, Jarvis Landry, Julius Thomas, they say, dude, his fastball is still his fastball. I wonder how that holds up over the long haul, considering this was not a normal spring for him. You know, where normally you're throwing through OTAs, you're throwing with guys on the side. I mean, he was throwing his kids up and down on the beach, I suppose, but that was really it. You know, footwork, just being comfortable in the pocket, it's still a little rusty, but he's got a big arm that will bail them out of some things. The question is, you know, can Adam Gase once again coax those interceptions out of him the way he did the year they were together in Chicago? And he kind of turned him into a little bit more of a game manager, but that's what was in order. So, you know, look, the Dolphins still have some things they need to sort out on their offensive line. I'm not sure their defense is markedly better than a year ago. And a year ago, they certainly had some trouble, especially up front. And to me, I just worry about regression with a team like that that won a lot of close games last year, you know, took advantage of a weak schedule, playing some divisions that were down, like the AFC North. Maybe catching some teams at the right time. I wonder if that evens out for them a little bit this year.
Jason Lockenfora, NFL insider for CBS Sports. All right, how much did you see of Carson Wentz, and what kind of expectations do you have for him this season?
Yeah, I have some pretty good expectations. It's a little tricky at these practices because you got one team's offense going, the other's defense, the other's offense going, the other's defense. So today I'm writing Jay Cutler. So I was trying to watch the Dolphins one as much as possible, but sometimes when Cutler wasn't out there and you turn to the other field and you watch a beautiful 40-yard fade from Wentz to Torrey Smith, you watch him find Alshon Jeffrey in traffic a couple times, some passes over the middle. There's a lot of talent there to work with, and the kid mentally, he has a burning desire to be good, and he's all football, and he can handle the hype that comes with Philadelphia in particular, where they're desperate to find that next quarterback and have been for quite some time, you know, since the decline of Donovan McNabb. So I think he's in a good spot. I do think the hype train, though, has probably left the station a little bit there. And, you know, there's some people in the Philly area who just feel like this team is just going to take off. It's sore and they might win the division and this or that. And there's still going to be a learning curve for Carson Wentz. He did not play a ton of college football. That was just his reality. He didn't have as many starts as a lot of other guys. But certainly an upward trajectory. I like some of the rental receivers they put around him, guys like a Torrey Smithen and Alshon Jeffrey, who are kind of playing for their next payday a little bit. They're certainly super motivated. How good are they going to run the ball? I don't know. I think they'll be fine on defense by and large and have a better pass rush. I think they're, you know, a 500-ish team, maybe slightly better.
Talking NFL with NFL insider for CBS Sports, Jason Lockenfora. At JLC, you also made it out here to the West Coast. You spent some time around Sean McVay at Rams camp. This guy's got unbelievable energy around him. But, of course, one of the biggest challenges for a first-time head coach, especially a young head coach, is getting the respect and getting a buy-in from the players. How do you think that's going to go with McVay and the Rams? And how's it going so far?
I think it's going exceptionally well. I was out in your neck of the woods for about 5 days. Bopping around between the Rams and the Chargers and the Cowboys, spending some time around the Rams with their scrimmage with the Chargers, and just kind of watching, doing a lot of observing and talking to a lot of people as well. I mean, there is an it factor with Sean McVay that's undeniable. He's been groomed for this, consciously and subconsciously from a very early age. And for as young as he is, 31, he's been in the coaching ranks for a considerable amount of time. He's been on good teams and bad teams, been around good quarterbacks and not so good quarterbacks, been around some different offenses. He's got, some tremendous for start talking about Gruden and Shanahan. He's a part of some special family trees from a coaching standpoint. And he just has an emotional intelligence. He's wise enough to not pretend that he's a know-it-all and not conduct himself in a way where guys are like, who the hell does he think he is? But he's gotten a quick and steady buy-in from the players there. Now, they don't have the complete, they don't have the complete roster on offense either. I mean, even Sammy Watkins, that's a nice trade. If he plays and he's anywhere close to 100% for more games than not, that remains to be seen. And there's still the offensive line still has some question marks there as well. But no, I think Sean McVay is going to be, one of these Adam Gase type guys who gets a decent little thing vibe going. He starts changing the culture that first year. He'll be able to find other people's spare parts who uniquely fit his system so he can maximize the talent. He won't try to force square pegs into round holes. He'll be willing to alter his scheme and be a shapeshifter from week in, week out, like a Josh McDaniels, to beat a particular opponent. It's going to take some time there in L.A. for sure. But I do think he'll be there a long time, and people are buying what he's selling.
JLC joining us. Jason, you just mentioned Sammy Watkins. So in terms of that, let me ask you about Anquan Boldin. He announced his retirement yesterday. So when you look back on his career, what kind of thoughts do you have?
Well, I mean, he should be in that Hall of Fame conversation. I'm not a part of that boondoggle. I don't vote. I dropped out of the PFWA a long time ago, in large part because I'm not comfortable with that process. So I can't vouch for who gets in and who doesn't, and why some guys get log jammed and others don't. Why some guys like a TO, still aren't in there. I can't speak to that. So I can't go too far down that road. But from a statistical standpoint, from a big game, big stage standpoint, from a guy who brought the best out of others and kind of turned a dependent position into an independent position in that so many people learn from him. I mean, just talking to Torrey Smith today about Anquan Boldin and the impact he had on him when Torrey was a young pup in Baltimore. I mean, guys, like, they just want to be around him, period, whether, he's playing football or he's at a community center or he's walking the earth like Kung Fu. Like, He has something about him that others want to be a part of and want to learn from. And I think that's part of a Hall of Fame profile as well. Now, you could say he played in a pass-happy era and, whatever. I'm sure there's counter-arguments, but I certainly think he should get and merit serious consideration for the Hall of Fame.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. All right, before you go, in addition to that, you went to the Seattle Seahawks camp, JLC. There had been a report earlier in the offseason that there was division among the team, and in particular, Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson. What did you make of the chemistry in camp this year?
Well, look, there has been heated and at times incredibly fiery exchanges and competitive battles between those units, that's not like a new thing. I mean, that's the totality of the Pete Carroll existence there. You know, they have some combustible personalities and some unique characters who are allowed to express themselves in various ways. But I do believe this strongly, that they are one of the few teams in this league who are uniquely equipped to turn a situation like Michael Bennett into a positive.
I think that means the line's dead. It's all right, JLC. I think what you do is you call him back and thank him for his efforts. He was awesome. But we're up against the end of the segment anyway. JLC. And he was a part of that Eagles-Dolphins joint practice today. It is his time of year. I know he's killing it. An NFL insider for CBS Sports also. And while he might not say that this is true, he, to me, is America's foremost expert on the major indoor soccer league, JLC. So we'll have more of that this year. And I'm definitely looking forward to seeing him on the NFL and CBS. I'll be making appearances on the NFL and CBS once again this year, and mostly in New York. So looking ahead now to the third hour, number one, I've got a major announcement that I want to make as it involves the program and also you listeners and the program. So if you have a guess on that, most of the guests have been pretty bad. But if you want to take your shot and you want to guess, go ahead. That announcement's coming up at the top of next hour. Also coming up next hour, I've got Dana White, president of the UFC. Finally, fight week is here. Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, my final thoughts on that fight. And that's coming up next hour, too. Reaction to Christian in Maine's phone call. Why you'd even bother to react to something like that, I don't know. But let's see. Stucknut tweets. Christian's hello should have been your cue to hit the buzzer. It's true, right? That should have been. And for some reason, it wasn't. I don't know. Maybe I got distracted. I should have been paying closer attention to it, and I would have known. Beaks in Studio City tweets, that joke was brought to you by a stupid idiot. See what I mean? It's like a call like that is not only bad for the call in and of itself, but it brings everybody down. Now I'm getting bad emails or bad tweets in response to a bad call. It brings everybody down. Jim, put that last caller in the Hall of Fame right now. Put him in the Hall of Fame right now. Sincerely, Mitch in Maine.
Hey, I've got a serious question. Hello?
Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, I want to know, do you know the difference between Danica from Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
No, Christian, I have no idea. Why don't you dial us all in? What is the difference between Danica in Jacksonville and Jerry Jones?
Well, one gets paid to ruin tenderonis, Romy. And the other likes cocaine and owns an NFL team. I'll hang up and listen.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Awesome. Because that's what I want this show to be known for. Calls like that. Brock from Buffalo sent that. Sincerely, Mitch in Maine. Mitch in Maine was the guy who called up last week, I think, and said, put Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame. Do it now. Do it now. And then this guy unwars Coward McGregor. You can say a lot of different things about Conor McGregor, but calling him a coward is not something you can do. Not legitimately. That'll be our topic next hour, as well as some other things, but I definitely want to lead next hour with that. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.